Right, turn to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to kind of have a little bit of a review relative to what we've been going over and move on from there. So first few minutes, 10 minutes, I guess, I don't know, will be a bit of a review. And so we'll go forward from that point on. But in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing here to these saints at Thessalonica over a situation where they're really concerned about the coming of the Antichrist. And so they're worried that they're going to go into that time of the Antichrist. So Paul writes about that situation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So there's the Antichrist, the son of perdition. What about him? "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped." So he's going to oppose everything pertaining to God. "So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And so we see here, there's a process here whereby the Antichrist will not come due to the fact that the body of Christ is here. So that's why we always use the board and we use that time frame that we go over and just mark it out with the beginning of Christ's ministry to his death, his burial, and then his resurrection. And so you have the dispensation of grace here. And Paul is addressing the Thessalonians about this time, but they were upset and worried about that the man of sin will show up over here, and they were going to go into that time with the Antichrist in the tribulation. So he says, no, that's not going to happen. There's going to come a great falling away in the dispensation of grace. They're going to fall away from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And ultimately, after that takes place, the rapture will take place. We'll get on out of here, which we're looking for now, and go be with the Lord. And so once that happens, then that man of sin will be revealed. Then the Lord will destroy him by the brightness of his coming and by the spirit of his words. And so the Lord will return and destroy the man of sin. And they were concerned that they were going to go into this time. So Paul said, no, now you know what hindereth, what doesn't allow him to be manifest. And that's because the body of Christ is still here. As long as we're here, this time will not take place. And CNN and Fox won't give you any clue to it. I don't care what's going on with Iran and Israel and all that other stuff. You're not going to be able to count days, months, or see any of that. As long as we're here, this won't take place, is what he's telling them. Now, he said this, that this guy here, the man of sin, the son of perdition, opposes all that is called God. Everything related to God, he opposes. And it doesn't just start here. It started back in the garden. That's how the fall of man came. So Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, he's saying that even though this is the man of sin, the spirit of him is at work today. Right here, right now. In the time we're living in, the spirit of him is at work right here, right now. And that's what I've been trying to get focused in on relative to right here, right now, and what we have to deal with. So with that said, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to understand that the word iniquity literally means unrighteousness. Iniquity means unrighteousness. So ironically, there's something written about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, folks, we are in a time where the mystery of iniquity is at work right now. The spirit of this man here is alive and well today. And that is our enemy. That's our enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And I could go into a whole message about that. That's really a beautiful saying there. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now watch what he tells them. Here's the problem with the Corinthians. He tells them, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity? Same word, but it's unrighteousness. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So Paul's telling these Corinthians, apparently, the religious system, the mystery of iniquity that has this religious system running through this entire time, which is about 1950 years, the Corinthians had gone back into it. And he said, what fellowship hath righteousness with the iniquity? There's no fellowship there. What part does light have with darkness? It can't. Or what concord had Christ with Belial? Belial is a name the Jews use for the devil. So what harmony, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? In other words, the Corinthians had fallen into something very, very wicked in their participation in the religious practice that existed during this time. And it's alive and well today, folks. It's alive and well. And it covers itself really well. And the reason why it's hard to distinguish is because of the preachers that are preaching it. Look in, you're in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 11. Probably when I got saved, one of the things that impressed me the most, and obviously there was a number of them that impressed me, but one of the things was, you know, being raised up and all this, you're taught about images of the devil. He's always the red suit, horns, pointed tail, pitchfork, blah, he's down in hell waiting to greet you. That's the idea. You got it, right? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 shows a whole nother light on this character. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Watch this. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So he doesn't hide out in the dark corners, does he? Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Therefore, it's not a great thing that if his ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness. But they're not ministers of righteousness. They're ministers of unrighteousness. They're ministers of iniquity. And so how do you identify these characters? How do you find out who they are? Well, the short answer is by this word. That's what you got. I used the illustration last week. If you're going to have tests run on you, many times doctors will do a biopsy or get a sample from you, and they'll have to look at it under a microscope to see what is causing your problem, what is causing the illness, the sickness. And so consequently, with the magnifying glass there and the microscope, it magnifies whatever's there that can't be seen by the naked eye. And so you get your result of what's going on. Well, folks, this Bible is the microscope. I mean, you can't tell these guys that have been transformed into the ministers of righteousness, you can't tell them by your naked eyes. Because most people go, oh, I love his delivery. I mean, he's so dynamic. How many times have I heard that? Boy, he's got a stage presence there that just captivates me. Oh, I love listening to his voice. Well, you can't tell the outward man of who this guy really is, because the devil, who gets transformed into an angel of light, has his ministers as ministers of righteousness. They're transformed as that also. They want to convey themselves as ministers of righteousness. So the only way you'll be able to tell them is by this microscope, a King James Bible. It reveals them. You know, it's interesting to note. Look over, we're in 2 Corinthians, look in chapter 2. Boy, you can make a whole meal out of 2 Corinthians, can't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. That's interesting to note, the beginning of that verse. For we are not as what? Many that do what? Corrupt the word of God. How many people out there are corrupting the word of God? What did the Bible just say? There are many out there that corrupt the word of God. There aren't a few. There aren't these fringe people out there. There are many that corrupt the word of God. Do you understand? They're out there by the score. You know, it's amazing to me that people who go by a Christian title. Oh, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. They somehow incur our church by coming here or talking to one of you guys or something. And they go, well, if y'all are right, I always like that, if y'all are right and know it all type thing, why aren't you bigger? Why don't you have a bigger church? I don't know. I've pondered that myself a few times. Gotta say, why aren't we? No, it's simple, folks. If there's many out there that corrupt the word of God, guess how many people gonna follow them? Many. If you got many of them, you got many following them. And they transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. And folks, the best thing that they can do is keep their people ignorant of the word of God. Did you know in Paul's writings, he wrote 9 times the word ignorant in his writings, but it was written this way. I would not have you to be ignorant. There's 4 or 5 writings where it specifically said that. That you walk not in ignorance as other Gentiles walk. You know what the ministers of righteousness, the ones that are transformed, want their people to be? They want them ignorant of this truth because this truth reveals them. And they want to be hidden from that. And so the way you tell is by the book. The Lord gave an indication of this in Matthew chapter 7. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know, it always bothers me, I guess I could say, when I hear people talking about how they watch so-and-so on television. And that preacher and how, oh, I just love that preacher. Oh, he's such a dynamic and he goes through all this. And I'm thinking, do you hear what the man is preaching on? Do you hear his position? He doesn't know the book. That should send a flag up right there. It doesn't know the book. I'm watching television this morning on one of the God channels and it was a church that hosted. It was a sit-down, one-on-one deal. And it was the preacher of that church. And he had a visiting preacher. And so the preacher of the church was asking this guy, I just could only listen, to just a few minutes of it. And so he was asking the preacher, tell me. Now, this is fundamental Christian, independent type guy, right? He said, tell me, what is the importance of the communion? And he said, oh, brother. If people just knew that when you took this bread and you blessed it and made it holy, that you ingested, there's nothing else you can take into your body that's more blessed than that. I'm thinking, oh, ain't this something? I thought more than that, but we'll just... I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You're going to take a piece of bread and say something about it, and all of a sudden it's holy? It is comparable to the Word of God? Are you kidding me? It's comparable to the Spirit of God that seals us until the day of redemption. It is on equal terms as Jesus Christ, as God Almighty. You got to be kidding me. Matthew chapter 7. Want to identify this whole thing. Why isn't your church bigger? The Lord gives the answer. Matthew 7 verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. So which gate are they supposed to use, folks? The straight one. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And, come on, you can say it, and many there be which go in thereat. How many people on the broad path to hell? Many. Come on, it ain't changed. It's many. How many people are following these many preachers? Many. The gate is broad for them. The way is broad. but it leads to destruction. And he says, verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And there you go. How many people we got in here this morning?
You.
But praise the Lord, we all know we're saved and sealed unto the day of redemption. We're not waffling back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine like children that are immature. We know that we have hope and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we can't lose it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, few. Hey, huh? Take a few rather than many that don't know anything, right? There you go. So here he's given this description here. Now we know that the straight gate, that narrow one, we know that's the gospel. Okay, we'll rightly divide this. Know it's the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again. That is your only access to God Almighty today, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't live right, do right, act right, or any other thing that's going to impress God to get you up into heaven when you die. You've got to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He paid the price for your sins. That would be equivalent to the straight gate. So, the ministers of righteousness that have transformed themselves into such are going to preach something else. Why? Because the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and he opposes everything pertaining to God. So he's going to oppose this truth here. And he's going to tell you, well, it's good to believe this, but, oh, you always got to amend something to it if you're one of those characters. But you better live it over here. And if you commit sin after believing this, you better repent and confess and turn and everything else, like Donald was talking about in Sunday school that we have right here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Talking about people putting bumper stickers all over their car. Turn or burn. Repent. Confess with your mouth, Jesus. Well, that doesn't tell you anything. I mean, just all that kind of stuff. Oh, they're going to doll up Jesus Christ. But they're going to put some action into it. You understand? They're going to say, you better do something. You can't just go to that church that says, all you have to do is believe. That's the church of the devil. See, the whole thing is flipped. That which is good is spoken of as evil. Paul said, I suffer as a
evildoer.
So the Lord then gives a little bit more illustration on why this gate is so broad and why the path is traveled by many to destruction. Identification, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, transformed into the ministers of righteousness. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I mean, sometimes we have to deal with this and lower our pride a little bit. Because I know we have some family that are involved in this religious system. Oh, well, Mark, you see, what happens, you guys over there at your church, y'all just split hairs. I mean, you know, y'all stand on particulars that you don't really need to be standing upon. You know, y'all so fundamental and straight about things. Well, folks, that's the way God is today. There's only one foundation. And if you're placed upon Him, you have a sure foundation. The Lord knoweth them that are His. So why in the world would God say at one point, I know you, you're my son, you've got your faith in Jesus Christ, then I commit a sin, and the next moment, He's ready to boot me off into hell? I wouldn't preach that. So I've got to be very fundamental. I've got to be very narrow on this. I can't waffle off of that. I've got to stand upon that and say, once you trust in Jesus Christ, you're secure for all eternity. Why does that upset people? Wouldn't you like to have a financial situation right now to where you don't have to worry about finances for the rest of your life? And that's a carnal illustration. It's a carnal worldly illustration. So why wouldn't you want that for the eternity of your life, your soul, your never dying soul? Why would a man argue that? Stand against it. I'll tell you why. It's because it fills the collection plate. It's all about filthy lucre, folks. That's what this character's all about too. He was about it right here. You know who kept the treasury here? Who was Christ's treasurer? Judas. No ironic thing that he sold out the Lord. Guess what this character's going to do over here? He's going to take over the monetary system of the world. And if you don't get his mark in your forehead or right hand, you can't buy or sell. Well, folks, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. You know what the motive is right here? Money. Dirty money. Filthy money. Because he knows if he corrupts God's word, he can make a bundle. He can make a bundle. You go that grace way, oh man, you'll never make it. Well, I never look to make a living off preaching the grace of God's message. I never look to build an empire, a temple, or any of those other things here. I want the bare necessities that we need, not want. You better erase want. That we need to get the things done here for Christ's sake. And folks, we got it. You understand? I mean, you look at this and see what's been done here. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, we just keep going on. By all standards, we shouldn't even be in operation. You do understand that, huh? Blow an accountant's brain is what it'll do. So Paul tells them, I would not have you to be ignorant. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. So the end result is, God wouldn't lead you into something that he told you to come out from. This stuff of, I go to this church, yeah, they don't rightly divide, but God has me there for a special purpose. Baloney. Take it out. You got family? There's some of you that you got that situation. You're talking to somebody, family member or friend that's in that situation that has been exposed to the truth and probably saved, that are in that situation and go, well, I just have a ministry to those there. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. They didn't receive the Lord's testimony. They didn't receive Paul's testimony. They're not going to receive yours. Nothing's changed. Paul told the Corinthians, I'd have fed you with meat, but I got to give you milk because you're children. You are not able to handle the meat. They remained as children, as Christians. And we have people that remain as children concerning their understanding of the Word of God. Folks, the devil wants you blinded to this truth. And that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have preaching on Sunday. That's why we've got Bible studies. That's why we have the Wednesday night Bible study. That's why it's available. So that we can grow up and we can learn. So we can say, I'm not ignorant of his devices. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. For we're not ignorant of his devices. But if you remain a child, you remain gullible to everything the devil throws out at you. Look at children today that get kidnapped. They don't go in there and with a gun and have to fight these kids to lead them off. They do it simplistically. How about a piece of candy? Well, it's in my car. You want to come get it for me? Yeah, what's your name? Oh, isn't that sweet? I got all kind of candy. What's your favorite? Chocolate. Oh, that's all I have is chocolate. Look right here. Chunk, throw them in, drive off. You can do that with a child. But ask some Hulk, 230. You want some chocolate? No, man, I'm watching my figure. Boom. I mean, you can't pull that kind of stuff on someone who's mature. You grow up in the Lord, you start recognizing the evil that's in this world. And I'm not talking about drugs, alcohol, rape, fornication, gambling, cussing, drinking, lying, and all those other things. I'm talking about the religious system. It's the most vile thing happening today. And it's happening right before our eyes. And what we need is folks in here to carry an ounce of conviction about it and talk to the loved ones with a little conviction. Not, well, you go there if you want. I know it's a sweet little church. So where do I go from here? Well, home. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Folks, it's more than that. I turn from Matthew, but if you're in there, go to chapter 12. Yeah, that thing, when I saw the description of the devil and then his ministers, I was like, oh, wow. This is right after I got saved. Obed started preaching on that. I said, oh, you got to be kidding. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. So, possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Well, it doesn't say anything that he had great faith, that he was living right, that he got rid of his sins. He was possessed of a devil, and he got healed right then and there. Not waiting for the manifestation, right then and there. That's what healing will do. It doesn't tell you, no, you're not healed because you have sin in your life. You're not healed because you don't have enough faith, or you just got to wait on God. Healing took place right then and there. It was taken care of. All right. Verse 23. And all the people were amazed. I bet they were. And said, is not this the son of David? Well, he's getting his due now. Okay. And that don't settle well with some folks. Christ getting his due. But when the Pharisees heard it, They said, "By this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." In other words, he only doing it by the devil himself. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." So division does not stand. That carries into the next verse. Watch it. "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Tell me, based on verse 26, does the devil have a kingdom? That kingdom is in operation right now. It didn't go away. Matter of fact, it killed the Lord of glory when he came into it. And what the king of that kingdom, which is Satan, did not know is that when he killed this king, the Lord of Lords, that this king, the Lord of Lords, was being killed and dying for our sins over here. And so consequently, he was buried, and the devil kind of wiped his hands, told his demon, and said, "See there, we done overcome them. We done put them down and beat them, guys." Then Fox News came on 3 days later with Fox breaking news that the tomb is empty and Jesus Christ is risen. Set far above all heavens, every name that is named. Hence, he was raised up above the kingdom we read there in Matthew. And when you trust in the Lord, you are seated right up there with him on the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, but you can lose your salvation. You're secure. You're above the kingdom. But we're down here in our physical bodies going through our lives, and that's the dude we're fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Why is it high places? Because it's the high regime of a kingdom. And folks, you say, "That's a daunting task. How in the world can we do it?" It's God that worketh in you. Let him do the fighting for you. All he needs is a mouth. Think about it. That's all he needs. Right here. Speak. Just say his words to people. That's our battle. Take it out and take it to him. Because folks, this thing isn't over. And the game is going to get ratcheted up. I'm telling you. The battle's going to get heavier. He's going to come in with more tactics, because at the end of this thing, there'll come a great falling away. And we've got to stand upon the truth of God's Word. We've got to grab this microscope and look and find these guys out and preach it, so that people won't be ignorant of God's truth concerning the gospel, so that they could be saved also. They deserve it as much as we do, folks. So take it to them and preach the gospel. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that grants us a knowledge of you and also sheds a light on the darkness of this present world.